From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, May 23rd, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and diversionsgames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
A bill to end Maine's religious and philosophical exemptions to vaccines is heading to the governor's desk. The Senate voted 19-16 today to enact the bill. Democratic Governor Janet Mills' administration has backed the bill, which ends non-medical vaccine opt-outs by 2021 for school children, as well as nursery school and healthcare facility employees. The National Conference of State Legislatures says Maine would become the fourth state without religious exemptions. Maine Senate previously supported protecting religious exemptions, but the original bill later passed the House and the Senate. Health officials say Maine's exemption rates are rising and endanger children who can't be vaccinated for medical reasons. Maine confirmed its first case of measles since 2017 involving a vaccinated child who has recovered. Opponents say the bill infringes on parental rights and stigmatizes children. The Maine Senate today joined the House in supporting legislation that would allow more medical providers to perform abortions. Mal Leary has more.
The measure would allow nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and certified nurse midwives to perform abortions induced by medication as well as in-clinic abortions. Supporters have said that those providers have the needed training to perform those procedures. Opponents argued that only medical doctors are qualified to handle possible complications. The bill has been endorsed by Governor Janet Mills, and if she signs it, Maine would become the second state after California to allow providers other than physicians to perform abortions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
And Auburn police say they found weapons, including approximately 7 rifles and a handgun, in the basement where police shot a man to death, ending a 6-hour standoff. The Sun Journal reports an affidavit by an Auburn police detective indicates the victim, 29-year-old Stephen Case, is believed to have participated in a burglary in which the guns, jewelry, and other items were stolen in Gray. Police Chief Jason Moen said they encountered Case while looking for another man. They found stolen weapons in that man's apartment and in the basement where Case was shot on Tuesday. Case died at a hospital while his girlfriend was unharmed. Police say the standoff began when an officer attempted to search the basement and found Case, who announced he had a hostage. In weather tonight, showers and thunderstorms, especially in the north, with lows in the mid-40s to the mid-50s north-south. Nearly 3 years after Maine voters approved the legal growth and sale of adult-use marijuana, the state has finally developed a plan to begin commercial sales. State officials hope retail cannabis sales to adults 21 and over can begin as soon as next spring. That's a goal that's prompting current operators in the state's medical cannabis program and aspiring entrepreneurs to shape how the market will operate. And based on the testimony at a public hearing today in Portland, making rules that will satisfy most of those interested parties will not be easy. Steve Missler has our story.
Over 100 people attended the public hearing at a hotel in downtown Portland to offer their views on a proposal that covers a lot of detail, from mandating child-resistant packaging on cannabis products to requiring employees into fledgling businesses to have lived and paid taxes in Maine for at least 4 years. So far, the reaction to the draft rules among cannabis entrepreneurs could be described as mixed. Aaron Worthing says he's grateful that state regulators are, at long last, creating a commercial marketplace after years of political and procedural roadblocks. Worthing is a cannabis caregiver from Cape Elizabeth who operates in Maine's medical program, and he told officials from Maine's Office of Marijuana Policy to work carefully but quickly.
We have to get to market. We're losing, as local producers are losing our advantage every day.
Like many others who were already operating in the medical program, Worthing saw passage of the adult use law in 2016 as an opportunity to grow his business. An opportunity that has since stalled amid the delays in getting the new marketplace up and running. Also sidelined are entrepreneurs and investors hoping to get a foothold in a cannabis enterprise allowed in only a handful of states that, like Maine, have legalized both adult-use marijuana as well as commercial sales. But so far, the legalization effort in Maine has looked more like that of Vermont, which only legalized personal use and cultivation. And while some who testified Thursday were glad that Maine regulators were finally poised to launch marketplaces that could compete with states like Massachusetts, other retailers, including Joseph Baker of Orrington, are worried.
First of all, everyone else come up here with platitudes. I got none for you.
Baker joined a handful of other caregivers who say the proposed rules, packaging requirements, and regulations, such as keeping medical and recreational sales separate, are overly restrictive and could cost them the business they already have.
You claim to want to protect craft cannabis. Who do you think craft cannabis is? It's the caregivers. We have to now make a choice. I've invested in a shop, Main Street in Bangor, $300,000 in a grow and greenhouses, and now none of that can be used for recreational and medical.
Other caregivers like Arlie Krause, a grower from Knox County, say the proposed fines for violating the rules could easily be absorbed by big cultivators and retailers, but could crush smaller operators.
If most of these proposals pass, growers and caregivers and shop owners are signing their death sentence.
Others who testified highlighted the conflict between smaller business owners seeking a niche in the new marketplace and those planning potentially larger operations designed to compete and dominate. Attorney Hannah King with Maine Professionals for Regulating Marijuana worried that some licensing requirements could become public records, which could put some operators at a competitive disadvantage.
Including required disclosures of operating agreements, management contracts, branding agreements, and the like. The regulations also require disclosure of information likely to include trade secrets, such as standard operating procedures for each individual marijuana product a manufacturer intends to produce.
Officials with the Marijuana Policy Office have said the rules are designed to protect public health while giving operators of all sizes a chance. Those same officials will have a chance to modify the rules after the public comment period ends on June 2nd, and it'll be up to the legislature to ratify the rules, potentially as early as next month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And the parent company of Summit Natural Gas of Maine says it's planning to build what's called a dairy digester to extract gas from cow manure to heat homes. The company's investing about $20 million in the project in the Kennebec County town of Clinton. It'll take waste manure from several dairy farms in the area and break it down in a process called anaerobic digestion. It's fairly widely used in Europe and in some places in the U.S., but many energy companies here have been reluctant to adopt it because natural gas is so inexpensive. The company says the new project will support sustainable energy production and reduce the release of greenhouse gases. Angus King is the company's chief development officer. He says the process starts with the cows themselves.
Yes, so the farmers provide manure from their cows. Actually, the cows provide the manure. And then the manure gets put into the digester. It will move through the digester. And what comes out the other end is a liquid effluent, some dry material that's really the fibrous material from the manure, and the gas. We take the gas and we provide the effluent and the bedding material back to the farmers. That liquid material is what they can use on their fields. It has the same nutrient content as the manure did. And so it's really the same for them in terms of using it as a fertilizer for their fields, only it's easier for them to spread. And then they also get to use the solid material as bedding for the cows, which replaces bedding that they currently use. Currently, a lot of them use sawdust, for example, and they will no longer have to purchase that. They'll be able to use the bedding instead.
On a most basic level, why is using this process to create the energy that we use for heat, why is it better than what's happening now?
Well, instead of using fossil fuels, this is an opportunity to use something that is otherwise a waste or is something that gets put into the atmosphere anyway. And methane, as you know, if it gets emitted into the atmosphere, is a very strong carbon greenhouse gas. And so being able to reuse a waste just gives us an opportunity to use our resources more efficiently and means that they're going to burn gas that does not come out of the ground, but instead comes out of this facility.
How soon would you expect that would be happening?
We plan to be in construction next year, and we're targeting operation in the first quarter of 2021.
And what does this mean for Mainers, both inside and outside of the area where the digesters will be?
We think that this is an opportunity to create some green jobs, create some homegrown energy, support some family farms, and reduce the planet's emissions all at the same time. We think that's a win for Maine. We think that's a win for the planet, and hopefully we think it's a win for everyone involved.
Out of the gas that Summit does deliver to customers, how much will this represent?
For our residential customers in a given year, the gas that this project will produce is roughly 45% of the gas that those customers use.
Angus King is the Chief Development Officer at Summit Utilities. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And this Angus King is the eldest son of Maine Independent Senator Angus King. You can find more information about dairy digesters and how they create natural gas on our website at mainepublic.org. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a look at summer travel ideas in and around Maine. I'm Nora Flaherty.